The Catholic bishops of the United States have dedicated the 14 days from June the 21st to the 4th of July, Independence Day, to prayer and public action aimed at recovering, renewing and reinforcing the heritage of liberty, especially religious liberty, in the United States. This Fortnight for Freedom sees special events scheduled on both the national and the diocesan levels aimed at teaching and witness for religious liberty. The Archbishop of Washington, D.C., Cardinal Donald W. Wuerl, told Chris Altieri that the fortnight has so far been successful in one of its main tasks, raising awareness of the central importance that religious freedom has in the national life of the people of the United States.
I think it's going very, very well. We chose on Sunday, the 24th, to initiate in Washington, in the Archdiocese of Washington, our whole program with this celebration at GW, at George Washington University. And what we did was, we had about 2,000 people come. What we did was we had a choir, one of our very, very large choirs, and we interspersed videos. We used videos to tell the story of freedom in America going all the way back to the Ark and the Dove when it arrived in 1634. And then we would tell a little bit of the story, and then we would have this choir lead us in all kinds of wonderful songs, hymns, the Battle Hymn of the Republic, Amazing Grace, those type of things. And we told the story all the way up to today. And then we had, I had a chance to talk to the audience that was there, and then we had benediction of the Blessed Sacrament, because the church is at her best when she's praying. And we wanted to make sure that everybody understood what we were doing was informational, inspirational, and prayer. And I think we succeeded. Now what we have to do in the parishes is continue this level of prayer. And then on the 4th of July, at the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception, we're going to have the great closing mass. And the nuncio will be there. I'll have the opportunity to celebrate that mass. Archbishop Chaput from Philadelphia will be the homilist. And we'll just conclude this fortnight for freedom. You could ask, why? Why are you doing all of this? And part of the reason is we have to lift up for people, particularly in our country, because in the United States we just take it for granted that we have these freedoms. We have to lift up for people to see that some of them are being eroded. When
Eternal vigilance, the price of liberty, is the old maxim. Are we complacent? Is that one of the reasons that we've gotten ourselves here?
I think that's a very, very good observation. It's a very exact observation. We just take it for granted. We've always had these rights. They're guaranteed in our Constitution. So we just assume everything's fine. It's only when you begin to see them eroded. Now, for a long, long time, and this is what led to the whole civil rights movement, there was a whole category of people who had their rights greatly diminished, African Americans. But then came the civil rights movement and the righting of that. But we've always had a certain dual measure. We've had a double standard when it comes to religious liberty and Catholics. Today, however, that double standard is now including all Christians.
It's an interesting point that you make, actually, that a lot of the religious liberty decisions of the Supreme Court involved attempts of the dominant culture to impose itself on the Catholic minority in the country. At the same time, you know, and while all of this was happening and the church was growing exponentially in the United States, the Universal Church was convulsively thinking its way through the relationship of the true faith and the church to the emergent political and social order. Let's call it democracy. And by our conduct and example, we taught the church something important that came out in the council. Are we recovering that? Are we looking – is the fortnight looking at that at all?
Well, I think that's a part of it. As you point out, you know, we're talking about a 2,000-year institution, the Catholic Church. So we've lived through all kinds of social structures. We've lived through all kinds of cultural and governmental structures. What has emerged in recent centuries is the understanding that democracy does represent a truly noble way for civil structure to model itself, because everybody gets a voice. However, in that structure, you have to make sure that it doesn't become the majority becomes the sole voice. We've always been concerned, and that's what constitution and constitutional law preserves. We've always been concerned that when we were a minority, and we still are, the dominant culture could impinge upon and constrict our freedom. Now, the dominant culture is secular, and it's turning all of that against all types of religion.
Well, and a lot of Catholics are part of that dominant culture is the thing. And I suppose that's always been the case. But one of the things that I wanted to ask you about is the grassroots of this, the need to build from the bottom up to reconstruct and to recover the roots even of our Catholic culture.
What we see, and this blends right into the new evangelization, and what we need to do is bring to them the experience all over again. Some of them will be hearing it really for the first time, the story of Christ, the introduction to the experience of Christ, his gospel, his message. That's why we're finding a lot of our young people, young adults, are very receptive to the church's message today. That event I talked about at GW, they were almost all young adults. They're coming. They're with us because they're hearing this for the first time in any meaningful sense, that Christ is risen, that he's there for them, that his way is a better way to make your path through life, and that freedom is a reflection of what Christ brings us. This is an exciting time.
Well, this is one of the things that it actually is an exciting time and a great time to be Catholic in America.
I think what you've just said is what we are trying to get across to the young people. I had an event just about 6 weeks ago called Theology on Tap. This is you go to a tavern, basically. We had about 250, again, young adults there. And I spoke with them for over an hour and then answered their questions. What they are looking for is precisely what the church is saying today. There is a better way. Christ represents life and freedom and a whole way of looking at reality. And our young people, young adults, are responding to that. This is part of the, I think this is part of the challenge, but it is the joy. You know, we opened a new seminary a year ago, Blessed John Paul II Seminary. It's a college-level seminary. Chris, this year, this September, will be filled.
Wow, that's astounding, because these things do not – that doesn't happen.
No.
That's – congratulations on that.
Thank you.
This is something that – well, the opening of the seminary then was timed roughly with the release of your pastoral letter on diocesan renewal and the education, all of these efforts. I wanted to get just a quick progress report on how that initiative is panning out.
I think it's working very well. In fact, so well is this effort. It began with the pastoral letter, as you pointed out.
Can you remind us a little bit about that? Because
we did a pastoral letter first on education to say we need to focus on our Catholic education and our Catholic identity at every level. Then we did the pastoral letter on the new evangelization. The response to that has been very, very substantial. What we're doing is we're asking every parish to take a look at itself under five headings. We call these the indicators of vitality. How alive is our parish in the faith? So we ask people to look at worship. What are we doing here? How good, how welcoming is our worship? How beautiful is it? How prayerful is it? Then we're taking a look at education. How effectively are we passing on the faith to everybody in the parish? And that's led us to a whole new program on adult faith formation. Then we ask ourselves, what are we doing to build up community? What's happening within our parish to nurture the sense that we are the church? Then there's a whole focus on service. One of the things we're going to do in the Archdiocese is we're going to have our own synod. By 2014, we will convoke the synod. So we're studying who we are right now, these indicators of vitality. We're asking everybody to be looking at how well am I living my faith, how well am I sharing it. And so we hope to have something at the end of this period of time to actually mark the progress we've made.